And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rowe.
What? No.
I'm David Jacoby.
And the cool check-in.
Together we are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do, Mr. Rowe?
We give the people what they want.
We're going to talk about the national championship game. We're going to talk about Michigan taking on Wisconsin tonight. We're going to talk about some of the upcoming NFL games. But what I really want to talk to you about on this podcast exclusive, what I really want to talk about, what I really want to get deep into, is a gentleman by the name of Kyrie Irving, Mr. Rose. So let's just go through some of the events.
I know Kyrie Irving
missed a game. Personal reasons.
You love this so much. You love the drama. You don't love the story. You don't care who it is. You don't care what team. But you just love the information.
I love the drama. Kyrie scored 60. We talked about it for like a couple minutes. Kyrie disappears for a week. Oh, we're talking about it for an hour and a half. Missed a game for personal reasons. KD gets asked about it. He's like, I don't know. It's personal reasons. Steve Nash basically, yeah, he won't text me back. No one really knows where he's at. And that kind of keeps going on. There's a report from the New York Post that's an important angle on this story. I'm not making this up. I'm not interjecting this into the conversation. This was an actual report, was that he was shocked. I won't even put words on the report. That basically it had something to do with the events of last Wednesday with the Trump supporters storming the Capitol building. That perhaps he was a little thrown from that. We were all a little thrown from that, watching that afternoon unfold on our television screens and our phones. Still not showing up for personal reasons. Then over the weekend, there's a video of a birthday party. And big shout to Worldwide Wob, who did a 4.5 minute breakdown investigation into the video that I will give you the information on, Mr. Rose.
Okay.
Worldwide Wob found the venue. It's in West Orange, New Jersey. Kyrie Irving spent some time there. Worldwide Wob figured out that it is his sister Asia Irving's birthday party. Huh? Same birthday as his dad. 30th birthday party. Triple balloons. XXX. I might have gone with the numbers because I don't want the XXX out in there in the balloons, but whatever. And then Kyrie's in the video without a mask on. So now Malika's on the case. Woj is on the case. So now he can't play because he's masked at a party. They're going to investigate it. So he probably won't be able to play against the Knicks tomorrow night. Won't be able to play all the way through the rest of the week. Jalen, there's a lot going on here. But what does this tell you about where Kyrie Irving is at and his commitment to the Nets and how the Nets feel about it, how the locker room would feel about it, how Sean Marks feels about it, how Steve Nash feels about it, about KD feels about it? Take it step by step.
I'm going to tell you something that you're going to be like, wow, that's information overload. Just think about how you started this conversation. You said that it was from the New York Post. So just think about this, Jacoby. As I've done Renaissance Man every Thursday podcast and column with the Post, and basically the deal was agreed to maybe like a year ago. It just got delayed because of the pandemic. Imagine this, David. When you look down at your phone and you get news and updates the way we get them from the worldwide leader who's the best at giving us all of the information on every topic.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine I'm also getting that from the New York Post.
Mm-hmm.
And the unique thing about the Kyrie story is that had always been the case on and off wax. That his personal reason for missing games was about the uprising that he saw take place at the Capitol building and his frustration that basically our country and our law enforcement in that case allowed it to happen. Don't be surprised if when he talks, it's to cover the angle of if that was black people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I want to put out there, because I'm about fairness. And I've heard that said a lot of times, and that's true. And this is one of those things that might hit a lot of people right between the eyeballs, but it's important to have these kind of conversations so we can get towards conclusions and solutions. It's not only if they were black people that they would have got treated vastly different. I can name other races and religions and backgrounds and ethnicities as well that I feel like that would have happened to. And the reason why that's important, because again, I feel like that would have happened to Muslims. I felt like that would have happened to other backgrounds and nationalities. So I create that as the backdrop for what I'm about to say about Kyrie Irving, because as I looked down at my phone and that was taking place that day, clearly you never want to see five people die. And it's unfortunate that our country isn't celebrating their lives by flying at half mast, and just, you know, just a lack of acknowledgement or respect that's coming from the highest office in the land. What I would advise Kyrie and those that look like me, and you've heard me say this, that was not our fight. What that was is each time we make some progress, it's field position. And every time we get to the 30-yard line or the 50-yard line, we're going to eventually have to punt. We're not going to win this game. We started 400 years of slavery to zero. So unless we start getting some real reparations, I don't think that we're going to get the swift, you know, accountability that we hope to get from America. And so a guy like Kyrie Irving, who may be frustrated by the police ushering in the looters and the mob and the rioters and the insurrectionists, I would advise him that this isn't the time for a player in the NBA to rage against that machine that has been so very supportive of our voices and their platform, along with the WNBA, who the Dream, the players on that team helped flip a Senate race in Georgia. LeBron James, with more than a vote, opening polling sites in Atlanta and Detroit, helped flip Georgia and Michigan. This is real substantial change. It isn't the end of the game. We're not going to get a championship trophy. It's field position. So for Kyrie, when you work for a company that, by the way, you weren't going to the bubble anyway and was one of the players that said that you felt shouldn't go, that became a hypocritical stance that players didn't like, because you're on the executive board committee and you knew that that was the plan the whole time and never said a word. So now all of these circumstances become more about him than them, become more about he than we. And you know what that is? A distraction. And so now if you're the Nets, you're charged with, are we going to fine or suspend him or not, Jacoby? Because 16 other players are watching. The rest of the league is watching. But I'm going to tell you this. The judge and jury going to come down with a hard gavel if he missed that ESPN game Wednesday night.
And oh, he's missing it. He's missing it.
But and so now that he's missing it, let me tell you what our teammates Woj and Malika just did. Let me tell you why the league is genius. They're putting out a fire before it is one. They're putting out the fire that I'm describing. They're putting out the fire that says to other players and teams, Kyrie Irving missed the TNT game and he missed the ESPN game for personal reasons. So they're squashing it by saying he's not going to be able to play because he was without a mask in a public setting. But here's what I would say. If you're eating dinner, Jacoby, with your family, and it's one of your kids' birthdays, and y'all at a restaurant, if it's just you guys, like you said with Kevin Stefanski, why you felt like he should be able to coach the Browns last week. If it's just you guys and you're in a restaurant eating, when you're closely in proximity with your family, none of those people are wearing masks. So in theory, to me, does that actually violate the protocol, or is it the NBA making sure that they don't have to take a hard line, seven-figure stance against one of its all-NBA players while they try to get to a solution of his personal problem?
Well, there's a couple things there. Number one is we just heard a report from the Post that it was his personal reasons were related to the events at the Capitol. We don't know if that is 100% a fact. And I just want to say before we continue, because we will, I am going to clown him and make light of this later, but I really do understand that the pandemic has been challenging physically and mentally for all of us, whether 1% or 99%. And I hope that he is of the best physical and mental health possible, and that I do not know what's going on in Kyrie Irving's personal life or in his mind or in his mental and physical health. So I can just go off of what I've read, and we haven't gotten any information from the Nets. There's this one report from the New York Post, but the mask, to answer your question directly, is this wasn't five people around a dinner table celebrating a birthday. You know, I've had a birthday during the pandemic. My twins have had a birthday during the pandemic. My son has had a birthday during the pandemic. And that was five people and some Zoom calls, you know? Like, this was at least a dozen people, you know, in close proximity to each other. I don't know what the rules are in New Jersey. I know that they've got some indoor dining there, but here in New York, you can't have groups of more than 10 people. So I'm sure that the NBA's policy has something in it that limits the number of people that you can be around in an indoor setting without a mask. I'm sure in somewhere he violated the letter of the law with that party that he attended in celebration of his sister's birthday. So that's why he's not going to play. But you bring up a really good question. If you're the Nets, you've got your star player who's not playing for personal reasons. We don't know what they are. And again, someone could be sick in his family. He could be dealing with mental health issues, a loved one. Like, who knows exactly what's going on that's leading to him not playing the games. But you brought up something that we've talked about off wax is he still getting paid? Now, that's not been clear. But under what circumstances do they stop paying him because he stopped playing?
Well, it's somebody that's gotten a lot of technical fouls, that's gotten suspended, that received this check, and they make sure they take it out the same time Uncle Sam does. So it ain't no gray area, ain't no pursuit. But when you get your check, they already make sure they got theirs. If he would have been getting fined, we'd know about it.
Mm-hmm.
We'd know about it because that's NBA protocol number one, almost like the injury report. Like certain things that fly under the radar, like Philadelphia just got fined $25,000 for not disclosing Ben Simmons' injury. We won't talk about that, but that's league business. The point is, if he was getting fined for somebody that makes $35 to $40 million a year, to me, off the top of my head, that sounds like $550,000 per game. That's real bread. If he was losing that, we'd know it.
Yeah, we'd know about that.
And so that now has the league on the other end of the phone calling the Nets and saying, man, y'all putting us in a real bad spot right now. They're putting us in a real bad spot right now because guess what? We can't allow Derrick Rose to do when he's a member of the Knicks, be gone for multiple days, or Cedric Ceballos when he's a member of the Suns, be gone for multiple days and not be accounted for. There's a league of now up to, 475 players. So that now in 3-2-1 is going to become the next conversation that I want everybody to get ready for.
Yep, and let's not forget during the bubble and during the fight against social injustice that flared up, the racial reckoning this country had, NBA players stopped playing. They just felt like things that were happening outside of the game just made it such though that the game wasn't important. They needed to focus all their energy on that. And that could be simply what Kyrie was doing, or who knows? exactly what he is doing. But my question for you is this one now from Kevin Durant's perspective. You leave the Warriors. You join up with Kyrie to go to the Brooklyn Nets. Get hurt, right? Spent last year rehabbing. He's close with his brother. I think his name is Tony. So when they're sitting around, it's the two of them, you know, driving in a car, kind of like brothers do. And Tony says, Kevin, how are you feeling about Kyrie? What does Kevin Durant say? Now, I know you can't speak for him, but what do you think he says?
I would think, even if it's just for, you know, personal use, they burning some sage. Is that fair to say?
Sure.
At least that, right? Well, we've seen that, right? At least. Not to incriminate anyone. I don't know what the laws are in certain states, but I would anticipate it, at least that's happening, right? If he's bringing it to an NBA arena, I would assume that they're doing it at home, right? Okay. What he's saying to Kyrie's brother?
No, what is Kevin Durant saying to his closest confidants right now about the current situation in the Nets?
He has to show a level of concern. Because they haven't played 10 games yet. You can say whatever you want to say about Kevin Durant. One of the reasons why he's my favorite basketball player is because he a lifer. He'll play rec ball if Jacoby was out there. He'll play football if LeBron was out there. Flag, that is. He'll play at the Rucker. He'll play in D.C. He'll play anywhere with anybody. You know what he don't like to do? Talk to the media. Have you guys ever noticed that by now? I know that he started a media company and they're doing some projects, but if you notice, he ain't in many of them. And so he don't necessarily like the media. And you know what he's going to like even less? Having to use the media to talk about somebody else. Oh my goodness. That's the worst case scenario in both situations. And so he's telling them that, yo, homie better get his act together because I ain't going to be rolling like this for the next 3-4 years. That's what he's saying.
Interesting. And then about the party, like, here's my question. How do I see these videos? If you've got Kyrie Irving, who's not playing in the NBA, who's violating mask protocol in the NBA, and you're a guest at this party, why are you recording these videos and uploading them to social media? Like, why are you doing that? Who is doing that?
So here's what happens in public. And by the way, you know I hate Jacoby when people treat me like a zoo animal. I've been saying this for a couple of years, and I saw Odell and a couple of people adopt me saying it like this. But it's all facts. You don't have to sneak and take a picture of the side of my head. Like, if you want a picture, come up and ask. This wasn't a member of his family. This wasn't somebody that was a part of the party. This was not somebody in his phone. This somebody else whose family was at the restaurant and or somebody who worked at the restaurant. That's who this was. Remember, society is all about clicks. So now how can I get the got you moment to get me clicks? That's what everybody's trying to do. And all of a sudden, when I see the side of Kyrie Irving's head at a restaurant, that might get me clicks. That might get me a check. And so that reporting, as now it is with everybody has a phone, now becomes news, and it exposes the Nets all-NBA player enjoying his family while not showing up at his job.
Another thing that's worth noting is, remember early in the season when the Nets just looked like a juggernaut, just tearing up the Celtics, and Kyrie and KD playing great together? Now they're 5-6 right now. And that's not helping things either. Because if they were 10-1, the Kyrie missing some games doesn't really matter so much. But when you're under 500 with the roster that they have, and again, things will change, but currently outside of the playoff picture, that's not helping at all. Because when the Nets and the Knicks play, you don't expect them to have the same record, and they do right now. And that's not good.
Correct. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out with, like I said, how they go about disciplining him. Because he will be getting discipline. And usually in professional sports, that discipline comes in the form of a fine. Hopefully for him, he's not going to get disciplined to the point where it starts costing him game checks. And you know how I feel about giving back the money to the billionaires. That's just not intelligent.
We'll see. I'm sure there'll be new developments. I'm sure at some point Kyrie will speak and explain exactly what is going on. But one thing that you floated out there, which is interesting, tied to another report that's out, is that Houston might be looking to keep James Harden. You know, I remember there was it wasn't attributed to anybody, but someone in the Houston Rockets organization said that they're willing to get uncomfortable when it came to James Harden's trade request. Back then, it was specifically to the Nets. Nets package didn't look great. So he's like, you know what? Maybe we'll just keep James Harden around. Do you think that's a possibility that they'll pass the trade deadline, keep James Harden?
I think it's a possibility because it's tough to trade a player of James Harden's caliber and get legit value in return. And if you Harden, you got to also consider that they brought in Wall, they brought in Christian Wood. Like, they are doing some things to try to, you know, surround you with talent, and you hope Boogie can get his game together. For Houston, though, if you're going to move James Harden, it got to be a no-brainer deal. And we saw what the Clippers got for Paul George. And you know what I always say, those picks don't play. Mm-hmm. And it's great that OKC got all of those picks, but when we start talking about the playoff race, we're not going to mention OKC.
No.
We're not going to mention them. And so hopefully they can hit on a superstar. But in the meantime, if you're the Rockets, you hope James plays his value high, and then something else happened. Like, y'all really want Kyrie instead? Now, if you're the Houston Rockets and or the Nets and you've been talking about a deal, you open it up and you say, so, what do you think about Kyrie Irving? Because Kyrie's basketball actions on the floor, Jacoby, have shown me that when he's in uniform, he's there to dazzle.
Yeah.
But he's also shown me that there are going to be times where I'm going to be looking for him at work and he might not be there. And so you have to now consider more options. And if I'm Houston and I had to choose between taking Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving, even based on what I just said, and I had to get rid of James Harden, I would choose Kyrie Irving.
Really?
Would.
Oh, I would choose Simmons. I would choose Ben Simmons.
I would choose Kyrie Irving.
Well, Ben Simmons never burned sage in the opposing arena. Ben Simmons didn't want to start his own league. Ben Simmons didn't just disappear for a few days. You know, Ben Simmons didn't, you know, leave the Celtics like Kyrie left the Celtics and kind of not play last year because KD wasn't playing with him. So I'm good. I'm taking Ben Simmons 100 times out of 100. Now, Jalen, I also want to mention something else that's happening. Doug Peterson's no longer with the Eagles. Now, you've
never been thinking about when you're out of here.
You've been saying this for the longest time, that Doug Peterson had one foot out the door. You said that he's already got a job locked in somewhere else. But then just last week, there was a report that Doug Peterson is going to come back, and now he is not. Jalen, what do you think has changed, and why were you so adamant that this is the way it was going to play out?
The beauty that I like about doing this job for so very long is when I say stuff, people don't know who's telling me. This is so great. And within the Philadelphia organization, what ended up happening is his players didn't appreciate how he never embraced Jalen Hurt. Like, it's one thing for, you know, the Carson Wentz experiment not to go well, but it's another thing to feel like you too big to embrace the Jalen Hurts movement and give him a chance and try to develop him. He never seemed interested in doing that. And so that was something we talked about on our show for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then now everybody else is talking about it when you go into the final game and he benches Jalen Hurt. For no apparent reason. He just bent. So now you got no Wentz and no Jalen. So you can't say that your goal was to do the best thing in order for the franchise to win. What he was doing, and it goes to my one foot out of the door thing, he was trying the owner. He was trying the GM. He looked him straight in the eyes and said, I got a statue outside. I bought you your only Super Bowl. I want this. And if you ain't willing to give me what I want, because you saw the report. Well, he met with Jeffrey Lurie once. And they're going to meet again because the meeting didn't necessarily go well. So they're going to meet the second time. After they met the second time, he was relieved of his duties. So we're going to look up Jacoby. And as Doug Peterson, somebody knows that he brought Philly a Super Bowl and has a statue outside of the building. And he soured on the GM and not being able to control the quarterback room the way he see fits. We're going to look up, and when Jacksonville, if they don't get Urban Meyer, and when the Jets and probably the Lions and all of these teams that feel like they got a quarterback that just needs a whisperer, you know what they're going to do? They're going to reach out to him, and he's going to get another job, and he's going to get a bigger check, and they're going to appreciate him at his next job, and he's not going to have to deal with Philadelphia and the things that he didn't like there anymore.
Well, the general manager of the Jets is a gentleman by the name of Joe Douglas, who previously was in Philly. Some people have that job linked to Peterson. We will see about that. Jalen, right now we have something very important to announce. We need more voicemails. Our producer, Andrea, said we need more voicemails. Don't make Andrea upset. Call
Does
nine.
That sound like Rocky when he was calling for Adrian?
No.
Andrea!
Call 985-80-JALEN. That is 985-80-JALEN. And you can leave us a voicemail. And when you
Shout
do that, play it on the show just like this.
Hey, yo, what up, Jalen and Jacoby? This is Trav coming out of Alabama, Roll Tide. Shout out Reg the Ledge. Hey, look, I got a little question here for Jalen. You know, I've been going to my barber faithfully, devotedly, and so loyal for about 5 years running now. And I don't know what happened to my guy, but these past couple of weeks, he kind of messed my game up. Messed it up so bad to the point I'm wearing hats. So I went to go further off to a different barber. And when I tell you he gave me the Midas touch, Jalen, I do not lie. I do not lie. This man made me feel so wholesome again. And I was just wondering, am I wrong for leaving my barber to go venture off somewhere else like Jacoby? Or should I go back and talk to my barber and make him straighten it out again? Hey, just let me know. Like I said, Roll Tide is illegal, but we're medicinal. Yeah.
Wow. What a saga. What a conundrum. What a moment in Trav's life. Jalen, what's your advice for this young man?
First and foremost, I love him so much. This is one of my favorite voicemails of all time. First out, congratulations to your Alabama squad winning their seventh championship in 12 years. I would have never thought growing up that somebody coaching at Alabama would get more rings than Bear Bryant. Just think about that for a second. I would have never thought that that'd be the case. Because Bear Bryant got him a handful also. And didn't Nick Saban get one at LSU?
Yep.
We got to start putting some respect on his name. He got eight. And so that's first and foremost. Second, you know this topic is so very near and dear to my heart. It's like, beyond all of the serious stuff, you know, family and friends and your job and your faith and you know, all of the serious stuff, of course, I'm an adult. But like frivolous things, like relationship with barber and keeping a crisp cut in fashion, it's near and dear to me. And I'm going to give you the most sound advice that anybody could ever give you, because you know how I value my relationship with my barbers. They're my brothers, they're my friends, and also how I want to stay fly. After 5 years with your barber, you can't tell him that he fell off. It's just like an athlete Like, you want that player to be with your franchise for 5 years, 10 years. You want to have Shiz for 20 years like I have out of Philly. And you want to have Hawk for 15 years out of Atlanta. You want to have Andy Authentic for a decade. But you know who you don't hear about? The other people that I had the last 25 years. You know why? Because maybe I outgrew them in one way, shape, or form. And so what you do with your five-year barber that you appreciate and, you know, has made you a contending team, but now you're going for the championship and you got that Midas touch and you see what it looks like on the other side, what you got to do is just don't make appointments with your old barber.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Appointments with your new barber.
Wow. Wait, wait, wait. A man who's been preaching loyalty to his barber for a decade on this program is now saying that this is a business relationship. You go to the highest quality cut you can get, and that's where your loyalty is, to your the quality of your cut, not to the person giving you the cut. I never thought that you would go this way, Jalen, and I'm disappointed in you. And
I figured you would be.
I have some other news for Trav. Is, I believe that was his name, shout to him. I would say, you know what, like, sometimes in relationships, business relationships or professional relationships or romantic relationships, over time, sometimes they get taken for granted, you know? And maybe sometimes you just need to just sort of reconnect. And I would allow your original five-year barber to have some, you give them some constructive criticism.
No.
Give them some constructive criticism.
No.
And let them know that there should be some adjustments made and see if they're allowed to evolve. See if they're allowed to evolve and maintain the job. Because you're just going to leave at the drop of a hat, Jalen Rose.
No.
I can't believe this is you. I can't believe this is you.
I'm going to tell you what you do. I've had the same phone number since Mariah was born, and she's 20. And let me tell you why I don't have to change my number. Because there are people that come into your life for different times and different phases. And during that phase, I might be taking their calls. And then there might be a phase where I'm not. That don't mean I need to change my number every time. You don't go to your barber for 5 years and give them constructive criticism like you're in a long-term marriage with three kids. This don't work like that. This don't work like that. When you go to that barber and you now start giving constructive criticism, that now becomes an argument. This person think they all that, trying to tell me how to do my thing. And if you give constructive criticism and then you leave, that becomes beef. So what you do? Yeah, you're a customer. Remember, the barber has X amount of customers that allow barber to get mortgage, taxes, and insurances paid. So therefore, you want to keep your clients. So what you do is go to your new barber, and then at certain points, your old barber gonna hit you up. And I am this dude. I'll just say this, to be honest. The people who don't value their cut as much as you, especially if they're like kids, like 13 and under, you send a couple of them to your old barber. Oh, wow. And you go to your new barber, and when your new barber hits you up, you just pretend like, man, the times just ain't been lining up. And before you know it, your new barber gonna look up and it's been 2 years and he ain't cutting you no more. That's my advice.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. Disappointed in you. I feel like I'm gonna look up one day and you're just not gonna be in the studio.
No, you ain't.
All your pictures are gonna be off the wall. I call, go straight to voicemail.
Hey man, he said he got an upgraded Midas touch cut.
What if you get an upgraded co-host? You know what I mean? What if you get an upgraded co-host?
No, because here's the thing. I ain't going to have to ever try it, just like you won't ever have to try it, because we ain't going to never be slacking on our game.
Okay.
See, don't leave that part out. He said the person was slacking on their game. You know what I'm saying? Jacoby not doing updates, sending emails, not in a Google Doc, not writing questions, showing up in his underwear. You know what I'm saying?
No, we do this. We always record the pod exclusives on a Zoom call. And Jalen, before the call today, it's like, yo, Demetrius, I love the way we're doing these Zoom calls in the morning and in the afternoon. And like, I got to incorporate this into my life. And I'm thinking to myself, we're like 10 months into the pandemic. Everyone's on Zoom all day, all the time. And 10 months into the pandemic, Jalen's like, I got to start using the Zoom thing. I gotta start hearing about the Zoom thing. I got to start using it. Don't get too comfy. We don't want you to get tubing out there.
I like what you did there. I like what you did there. The 1% of people that's going to get that is worth it. Like a Rakim lyric.
Yeah, exactly. Jalen, we obviously talked about the national championship game on the television show, and we covered a little bit of it here, but one aspect of it I know that you were passionate about, I want to get your angle on, and that wasn't the play of Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith, who can be a first-round pick, or Mac Jones, who'll probably be a first-round pick too, but it was the fact that Jalen Waddle was out there that bothered you. Why was that?
Because it bothers me when adults mislead minors purposely in order for their personal gain. And you cannot tell me that there's a trainer that gets paid by Alabama, a strength and conditioning coach, and a staff of Hall of Famer led by Nick Saban, Steve Sarkisian, who's about to be a head coach, that can tell me that it was in Jalen Waddle's best interest to be playing football last night. It was not in his best interest. He was hurt, dog. There's a difference between He was injured, dog. There's a difference between being hurt and injured. The quarterback Fields for Ohio State was hurt. Waddle was injured. There's a difference. And so for them to take advantage of that young man like that, and I know that's going to be 1% of the population or whatever percentage to say, well, he chose to do that. That's why you have adults in the room. Because he's a minor. He ain't 21.
What about national championship game? You want to be there for your teammates. And if I can walk, I can play. And maybe if I just make one catch, maybe I could swing this game. Maybe it's not going to be a blowout. Maybe it's going to be close. And they need every contribution they could possibly get. And when you're in that moment, you're not thinking about playing on Sunday. You're just thinking about the brotherhood and the legacy, and you want to be there for the national championship game, and maybe you can contribute and bring your team a championship.
Well, you know, I'm there for the nostalgia, and I hate when NBA players low manage. I'm not necessarily mad at collegiate players that missed the bowl that they feel like isn't as meaningful for their draft status because they don't want to get hurt. But this wasn't a choice by him, Jacoby. There's a medical staff that clears you to play. And at some point, they had to watch him run. And the run wasn't any better when they saw him run 2 hours before the game than he was running during the game. They saw him run. They saw him warm up. They saw him do drills. He can't go. Want to go, can't go. What if he gets hurt? And by the way, let me say one other thing. I love that he played with toughness. I love that he wanted to be there for his team. I mean, his name is Jalen. That's a superpower. I know that gave him irrational confidence. I get it. But that's what the adults got to say. No, this isn't in your best interest. And protect him from himself. Can you imagine how I look at pictures of myself with a bald head and bad teeth in that red and white suit? That dude was bad for my health. He was hazardous to my health.
Explain how he was hazardous to your health.
That guy was hazardous to my health. He had no filter. He was willing. He was fearless. Would fight, shoot, kill, and take a bullet if he had to. He would drink 40s with the best. Like, I was disappointed that they gave Ice Cube a 40-ounce ad and I didn't get one. I wanted to be the first college athlete with one. You know what I'm saying?
That old Jalen wouldn't hang with me. That old Jalen was too tough. He wouldn't hang out with this corny white guy from Massachusetts.
That's what Dugan Fife said, and that was my man. My man had me drinking Jaeger. He like, you can't be drinking that Hennessy. You ain't in the hood no more. I'm like, all right, give me some of that Jaeger.
Jaeger's delicious. I've seen you take a shot. Well, we got time for one more voicemail. And again, we need your calls. Call 985-80 voicemails. Talk about anything, relationship advice, professional advice, obviously sports, sophomore boss move, cultural, regional, anything in the world. And we'll answer your questions just like we will this one.
Hey, Jalen and Jacoby, this is Jillian. I need your advice on something. My husband and I found out we're having our first child this year. We're very excited. We come from two different fandoms. I am a Philadelphia Eagles, Sixers, 76ers, Phillies fan. My husband loves the Jets and the Rangers and the Yankees, and he hates everything Philadelphia. So how do we raise our child? My husband wants to just poison the child's mind against everything Philadelphia. I'm willing to compromise and split up the four professional leagues, and I get two and he gets two. But yeah, I need some advice here because, you know, the 76ers are very important to me. I got to trust the process. Help me out. Thank you.
Well, as the Daisy fan here, I think, you know, I think that you're probably more appropriate and equipped to answer this question. But one thing I do want to say as someone with three little kids is you don't have as much influence on this as you think. You don't have as much influence on this as you think. And my answer before we get to Jalen would be whichever you're closest to and whatever his or her peers are gonna be rooting for. Like, if you live in Philly, you don't want to be the kid that's the Jets, Yankees, Rangers guy in Philly, and same vice versa. Go ahead, Jay.
So thank you for the call. Congratulations on your newborn. Best of health. And feel free to keep us updated on how the baby's doing, how the relationship is going. I feel like this. He got to follow. She got to follow whatever team mama root for.
Oh, okay. Why is that, Mr. Rose?
And it's not necessarily just because I grew up in a single parent home. Did they say it was a boy or a girl?
They did not. They just said they're excited that they're having a child this year, so they're probably early in the process.
Correct. That's how I'm approaching it. So what ends up happening is, let me give you some simple math. Played so much sports. I've watched so much sports. I've covered so many sports. And sir, some of the greatest fathers in the history of sports. Some of the greatest human beings that walk the face of this earth. But we don't carry the baby 9 months. Mm-mm. So Father's Day just ain't like Mother's Day.
No.
Hey, guys, I know you take it some type of way. I understand you do. But there's a reason, and this is your answer. When you see an athlete can finish performing, the two words that come out of their mouth are, "Hi, Mom." 95% of the time, more than, "What's up, Dad?" So therefore, your youngster is going to root for the teams that mom roots for. And lastly, his team stink.
The Yankees are in there, but that's a good point.
You know, like, of course the Yankees is dope, but like, you know, you got to think about who on the squad right now. Like, who going to be on the Knicks the next 5 years and who going to be on Philly the next 5 years?
That's a great point, Jalen. That's a great point, Jalen. I brought in Quincy to like 8 Knicks games. He's not seen a single victory. Not a single victory.
See, that don't help. See, that don't help. You start liking the other team. That's how it was when I was little. I started paying attention to the Cowboys players on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah. Like, they're good. Like, damn, Tony Dorsett is nice. Damn, you got defense? Where did they get a defense? I didn't know teams had defense.
Oh, Jalen, I think that's actually good advice. I think that's good advice for Jillian and her soon-to-be newborn child. Congratulations to them. Jalen, we need more phone calls. So right now, stop the pod. Call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show tomorrow, and we will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.